Because he wants us to be safe, amen? He calls us to be safe because we're sometimes our worst enemy. Hallelujah. Listen to what Abraham did. This is, it's Genesis 12, 10. Gary, I know you like to, Gary brings his Bible. Isn't that interesting? Brings his Bible to church. That's amazing. Thank you, Brother Gary. Deacon. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, don't forget that's Sarah. Later, God changes her name from Sarai to Sarah. Sarai, his wife, he says, indeed, this is Abraham, amen? Abraham, who loved God, amen? And in Genesis, it said his faith pleased God. God said that Abraham's faith pleased him. So we're talking about Abraham, amen? But Abraham is no different than you or me. Here's God. Oh, I love God. I'm walking with God. And a problem right there. And what do? I lied. Therefore, it happened when the Egyptian... He says, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. And I wonder if how many people realize that Sarah was a beautiful woman. Abraham and Sarah, she was beautiful, the Bible says. And so Abraham says, therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife. And then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. What kind of faith was that? Not. Was that a lie? Yep. Why did he lie? Because he was what? Afraid. And that's us. So it was when Abram came to Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princess of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. Oh, yes, it's great. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Sarah was taken to the house of the Pharaoh. And he treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, this is great. What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? And he says, why? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Amen. God stopped the bad. Amen. Understand that? I believe that my God does that all the time for you. If you're trying to walk with the Lord and you think you fall short or you think you had a backslide or something, God will lift you up. So I believe he stopped the Pharaoh, amen, from committing a sin with Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh, who probably didn't even know God, we know that the Egyptians didn't believe in the God of Abraham, amen. Abraham heard the voice. Imagine that. Somebody who doesn't know God heard the voice and said, what are you doing to me? He called him up and said, what are you trying to do to me? He understood that if he did one more thing wrong, that God would have, I mean, the terror would have been awful. Amen. But he stopped him. Amen. And he stopped Abraham. He didn't punish Abraham because Abraham understood what he did. Amen. We all know that he repented. Now, Sarah and Abraham, later on, they do something that we all do as Christians. We all do it. Say that with me. We all do it. He got ahead of God. What did he promise Abraham and Sarah? That they would have a child. They would have an heir. Amen. They would be a family behind them. And they didn't have any children. He was almost 100. She was 90. And they didn't have any children. And he said, well, God said you're going to have children. And they said, well, I don't know. God said we're going to do it. But I don't know. So God's saying to you today, Franny, you're going to have good success. Well, I don't know. I don't have it today. I don't know. Maybe I don't. And so they said to each other, well, there's Hagar, our maidservant. Sarah says to Hagar and Abraham, you go with the maidservant, have a child, and that'll be our heir. Was that what God told him to do? Is that how God told him it would be? No, but he did it anyway, amen? And the consequences was Ishmael. And God blessed Ishmael and his family and all his, he said, your wealth will be beyond riches and all the things that his family will be blessed with. But that was because Abraham did what? Went ahead of God. Amen. If you trust in God today, you can't get ahead of him because things will happen. And who will have done it? You will have done it. Amen. Did you say, how can God let this happen? He didn't. You did it. Amen. You do things in your life that cause you pain. Amen. If you see every good thing in your, listen now, how many times we do that? How many times we still doing that today? getting ahead of God. Amen. How many times? If you see every good thing in your life today is a blessing from God, can I get an amen? Then why do we continue to run ahead of God? And why do we, this is even more important, why do we not include God? Or include Him, but not listen. Amen? But not listen to God. We're trusting in God. We believe God. And when He tells us, you shall prosper, Elaine, you will be able to do greater things than you imagine. And you say, well, I don't know. Why do we not trust Him? Because our flesh is weak. Amen? Hallelujah. Then we wonder why or how this happened. Now, you fill in the blank. We love our grandchildren, your family, your house, whatever, whatever. And we thank God for... Do we tell them about God? Do you tell your children? Do you tell your best friends about God? Do you tell anybody about God? Do you tell your grandchildren about God? Because that's your job. Amen. That's your calling. Because it's so important. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Do we tell them about God? Do we take the time? Do we take them to church? Do we call your daughter, your sister, your uncle, your niece? Come to church. Do we take that time to give them who? God. Amen. Do we do that? Hallelujah. Do we teach them about God? I saw this morning that the millennials, it's like 27% of them believe in God. Did you see that on this morning? 27%. And it's easy to understand it. They're not bad people, amen? We were all that way one time. But I thank God that I had a mother who took me to St. Mary's Church. I thank God that I had my dad who taught me about love and taught me about the greatest gifts and taught me to be who I am today. I thank God for that. But some of these people don't have that because their parents don't go where? To church. Their parents don't read the what? The Bible. They don't want to understand and they didn't take the time. So how can we expect the millennials to have any God in their life? Amen. And it's, you know, they said atheists. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe atheists. I don't know how that is, but I don't believe that somebody who doesn't know about God is an atheist. He just doesn't know. Amen. If you don't know something tastes good until you remember, try it and you like it. But it's our responsibility to tell our families, the people we love the most. Look at the joy you have this morning. Don't you want your kids here to have that with you? Don't you want your friend Sergio to have that with you? Jim, your family in Virginia, your family here. Don't you want them to have that? And you know your family in Virginia goes to church every Sunday. Why? Because this is where the hope begins, amen? This is where your life changes. And if you love God so much and God is working in you, you want Him to work in your family, the people that mean the most to you, amen? Your friends. That's why we told these two people, I hadn't seen them in years. We met them in a restaurant and they came to see us last Thursday night. And I did not hesitate, did not wait. I say, why don't you come to our church some Sunday? It's a little different. You might enjoy it. It's a family church. Oh, we're looking for a place. That sounds really nice. We think we really like that. I said, praise God. And that's where I left it, amen? You want your family to be blessed, amen? We're all just like Abraham. See, I went to the beginning of the Bible. I went to Genesis 12. And I brought the Bible right here to you today, showing you that you're just like Abraham. You're just like Jonah. You're just like Balaam, amen? There's no different. You got to stand in faith. You got to walk in faith. You got to have faith that when you ask somebody to come to this church, they're going to enjoy it because we're going to feed them God's word, amen? We're going to explain it, Sergio, to them so that they understand. We're going to talk about God and as it relates to their life. And then you can tell them more and feed them. But that's our responsibility for each other. That's why I know that I know what God gave me, that let's make October call people to church month. It's going to be every week, call people to church, because we tried the advertisements, we tried the paper, we tried some of the radio, we put an ad, we got a flyer at the restaurant in Derby, we loved that flyer, but we tried it, and how many people, David, have read the flyer and said that they came to church? How many people, when we first did something, you sent out postcards to everybody in Derby? How many people came? Nobody, right? Because we weren't ready. Amen. We're ready now. Trust God. Trust yourself. Trust this church. We have Bible study. Two weeks out of the month, we have a Bible study. Amen. We have a man who dedicates his heart to serving God and his wife helps him and they have a Bible study. Imagine that. You're learning other than Sunday. Here. This is where you want your family. This is where you want your best friends. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't be afraid. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to see. Help us to see, Lord, these testimonies are true. That we're just like these people in this book. We're no different than Abraham. No different than Jonah. No different than Balaam. We have our fears. We have our worries. We have our wars. We have things we got to fight through, Lord. just like they did. And we read this and we see the success for people who followed you. We see what Abraham received from you because he was proven faithful. We see what Jonah received because he was faithful. We see the blessings of everybody who follows you, who walks with you. We see them lifted up in ways the world will never lift us up. We see our life changing in ways that the world will never tell us. There is more. There always is more with God. But we need to dedicate ourselves every day to that. We need to see that God is around us, with us, waiting, hungering for us to tell somebody else about him. And then let him do that work. I planted those seeds in those people. Let God finish those seeds and let them come. You're doing the same thing when your friends, you're planting seeds. Let God have that time. But don't be afraid to give what matters most to you to the people that matter most to you. You find joy in this church, that's a good thing. You find hope in this church, that's a good thing. You find something in this church that you never found before with God, that's a good thing. But share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. Change the world one person at a time. We can all do that. We have that power because we have God behind us. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Church. Hallelujah. Woo. I'd be out in the woods on a day like today when it's raining. George, you probably relate, Chuck, Dave, when it's raining out like this, to be sitting out in the middle of the woods, you know, you're kind of, we always wear the right clothing and have a hat on, but to be out there and smell the woods and feel the rain falling and see it, it's peace beyond your imagination. That's that one time, Sergio, I told you I got so close to God, and it only happened one time, that I felt like I had to put my bow and arrow down. I had to sit because God was around me. I could feel his presence where I almost couldn't breathe. At least it was so real that it was so beautiful. I was weeping in the middle of the woods and a day like this when it was so peaceful, and I just opened up my heart and he came to me. And you can't make it happen. I can't teach you how to happen except that I surrendered all at that moment. And it was amazing. These days are so precious. To look out and see it raining is so precious. That's our God. He loves us. Amen. He loves us. God loves you. Say amen. That's pretty good. I almost believe him. There are no great victories without being a great battle. Right, Brother Fred? There are no great victories without first there being a great battle. Hallelujah. But, say that with me, but before we face those great battles, we must be one thing. We must be prepared. Any battle that you've ever read about, the victor was prepared before the battle began. Amen? Prepared means we did all we can before we even began the battle. Being prepared is the key. Amen? Everything we face in our lives, and can I get an amen? There's always a battle faced. Amen? Whatever time you turn, whatever new day, whatever happens to you at work, at home, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, every day seems like there's a new battle to face. Can I get an amen? Some are big. Some are smaller, yet with each victory will come from how ready we were prepared to face the battle. Amen? And it's important because the Bible says this in Psalm 46:10. This one line. This is so, listen, it says, listen to this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And you say to yourself, you don't know what's going on in my life. Ah, see? But if you're prepared and God is behind you and you're doing what God has called you to do, then you can do one thing. Listen, you can be still and know that I am God, because the battle is great. It's raging in front of you. And you're saying, why are you so calm? Because God is with me. And the Bible says to be still. But you can't be still until you're what? What's the word I just used? Prepared. Amen. And that's a big word. Amen. Being prepared. The Bible also says this in Romans. Do not, say those two words with me. Do not repay evil with evil. Amen. Do not avenge yourself. The Bible said don't do that because you're not going to win that battle. Amen. Because the battle is not yours, but it's God's. It says that he says that too. Amen. But the Bible says be still and know that I am God. You say, that's crazy. I can't. I'm so mad. I got to say something. But if you're prepared, then there's nothing left to be said because the people see in you somebody prepared for the what? The great battle. Because you're prepared, because you've stood and you have God behind you, because you have strength, you have the confidence. Amen. It's not that you're not fighting the battle, but you're fighting it in a way that people don't understand because you're fighting it with strength that's beyond their imagination. Amen. And I'll explain what I'm trying to say so that you get that, because there's things in our life to be first to be prepared. How many want to be prepared? Amen. Well, here's how you be prepared. There's things that hold us down. Not caring about your appearance. And I'm just saying, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you're wherever you're going, if you're going for a job application, you got to care about how you look. Amen. If you're going to an office job, you're not going to go in there with a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. Amen. So when you're going someplace for a job and you think God is going to bless you with that job, you need to prepare about how you are dressed. Amen. How you have the appearance. Because the first thing they see is who? And what you're wearing, amen? Hallelujah. Then you got to be prepared and you got to take care of the words that you use, amen? Miss Pat, you understand that? People's words sometimes get them in trouble. You got to be prepared. Not you, George. I love you. She's her. I love you. I do love him. Because the words that you use will show that you're prepared, amen? Show that you're ready for the battle, amen? You don't want to get in that battle. You don't want to get dirty in the battle, amen? You don't want to get all messed up, and you don't want to be bruised and bruised. You don't want to be bruised, amen? And you want to be ready, and so you're prepared, so you're careful with your what? Your words. Are you with me? And now you want to do this too. You want to be careful how you treat other people. Amen. How you talk to, how you treat them. Even if you don't like them, it's how you treat them that makes you prepared. Amen. If you know that that person's your enemy and you're prepared for that, then you will face it and you will lift them up. You pat him on. Now your little kid bugs you and you pat him on the top of your head and go away. I know it sounds silly, but that's what you do when the people are coming against you. When you're prepared, you just pat him on the top of the head and say, well, maybe it isn't that easy all the time. Yes, it is. It is when you're prepared because you know that you're right and you know that God is behind you. Amen. So you got to be still and know that I am God. So you got to be prepared when you see them, how you treat other people. And you might not be able to treat the person that you're mad at nicely. Amen. But if you treat everybody else around, say you go to work and there's 40 people there and you got this person against you and he's coming against you all the time. But you got these other people and you sit down and you have coffee with him, have a piece of toast with them. And they say, well, that friend's a pretty nice guy. I don't know. And other people say, I like that friend. Hey, friend, you want to go out and have lunch? All of a sudden, all these other people are saying, and then the person says, oh, and they look at him and say, what are you talking about? That guy's a great guy. That girl's a great girl. She's friendly. She's uplifting. She makes everybody feel good. Amen. That's being prepared. Amen. You're not fighting a battle with the person you're coming against. You're with God. Amen. You've lifted the bar, raised the bar. This whole sermon is about we need to raise the bar. Amen. We really need to raise the bar. Every time you turn around somewhere, somebody else is lowering the bar. What they accept for dress, what they accept for hair, what they accept for language, they're lowering the bar. What we see on TV, lowering the bar. Mama, you wouldn't believe what you see on TV. This is a big one right here. This is a big one. Being prepared for the battle. You know, there's no great victory without a great battle. But this is important. How we do our work. Amen. When you go to work, when you go to school, tell all the kids all the time, when you go to school, do the best you can. Listen to the teacher. Write down notes so that you can be the best that you can be. Be prepared. So when you go, oh, we're going to have a test. Oh, what did we say when we were kids? I'm not prepared. We didn't go over that. Whose fault is that? You, amen. It's the kids, because they're not prepared. You need to be prepared. How we do our work, your dedication to your work, how much time are you putting into your work? Not the persons you're fighting with, not the people you disagree with, Sergio, but you. How are you going to work when you go to the house? Are you presenting yourself strong? You're doing your job as best you can do it. Nobody can question how you're doing your job. Nobody can question the words you use. They see you and say, he's a great guy. Everybody says that here. They love you. He said, we do. We love you because you're a great guy. Amen. He's presented himself that way. Are you with me? So you see, if any battle comes against him, he just has to be still and know that I am, God is with him. Because he's prepared for the great battle. You don't have to get dirty in it, but God said the battle's his, not yours. Amen. And that's a good way to have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me, everybody? How are we doing? Good? How dedicated are we to our work? How dedicated? Remembering, and Deacon Gary, I'm going to pick on you again, my friend, but you are a beacon of what God can do. You truly are, and I love you, and I know people think, oh, he's always lifting Gary up, and he wants something. I want you to. I just love you so much. You went moose hunting 2 years ago. Three years ago? Waldo's 3 years old? Did you have a job when you went hunting? What happened? You lost? Well, the things happened in your life, and at that moment, you were unemployed. Somebody called you up. You went to a place to work. You presented yourself prepared. You presented yourself with the clothes that you wore and your attitude and your spirit and everything that's happened in your life since Waldo, since God blessed you with Waldo 3 years ago. Amen? I got to share, his testimony is somebody, he can't leave. Franny, he can't leave. He had a contract where he's working, and he's not supposed to work any more than the contract ran out. They won't let him leave. Amen? That's because he was, ready? Prepared. And he presented himself prepared. Amen. So all the battles that he had truly wasn't anything that he had to fight, because he was ready for the battle. Amen. And anybody that came against him, if anybody comes against him, somebody at work says something about them, say, what are you crazy, Gary? Are you crazy? And that's what I want for you. When people say that about me, I want you to say, really? Because guess what? People come against me. Truly, they do. And it's not a man that I called my friend for 1,000 years. If I let my flesh get carried away, it just drives me crazy. But I have to be still and know that God is behind me. Because I'm dedicated and because I'm prepared. Because people come against you. I don't care how sweet you are, right? Jim, Deacon Jim, right? People come against you no matter how wonderful you are. Amen? So you have to be prepared for that. Remember that it's God who is blessing us. Whatever you're doing for a living, Deacon Chuck, you had a great job. God bless you with. You were talented. You did the job. You worked at the job. But it was God who opened that door. Amen. Who God was always around you. That God, amen, he hasn't stopped. I know you have a talent that you're not using yet, Marilyn. I know he does, with those things that you want to create. I can't wait for you to get excited and let God work on that with you. Praise God. You got to be ready. Can I get an amen? So this is what I'm asking you today. If you got the call, whatever's on your heart today, whatever it is, if you want a mate, if you want a job, whatever promotion you want, if you got the call today, I ask you this, would you be ready? If somebody called you today and said, I have this job, this position, or this part, I want you to come and do this, would you say, I'll be there tomorrow morning ready? Would you be prepared? Amen? If the opportunity you were looking for came today, would you be ready? Hallelujah. Would you be? Is God waiting for you to be ready? That's the question. Is God waiting for you to be ready? Because he opens the door for you. Can you do the job today? Amen. Can I get an amen? Prepared to face life. Hallelujah. I know I mentioned it to other people. Miss Lisa, I'm going to pick on you. I know I've told you your desire to be out and singing. I said, you got to be ready for it. You got to be. If somebody calls you tomorrow, you got to be ready. Say, yes, I can do it, because that's what they're going to expect from you, because they want to know that you're prepared, because the world is full of competition. Amen. You're not going to succeed if you're not prepared, because there's other people wanting to do the same thing you want to do, but you need to be what? Prepared. And that's the only way to face those battles and have those victories, is when you're prepared. You say, I'm going to make this phone call, but God is with me, because you've done all you can do. Amen. Prepared to face life, the battles. Maybe God hears you. I know he hears you. But maybe he's looking for your dedication. Can I get an amen? I'm going to finish here. And this is God is waiting for you, not for the small problems. And I'm smiling because I know you think your problems are big. Can I get an amen? But you think they're so great because this too shall pass. You see, the Bible says this too shall pass. So you're looking at this little problem, but the greater things in life God wants to bring you. Amen. God, you see the little picture. You see something right now, and that's the great battle. Amen. And God is beyond that. God is already over here with the waiting for you. Come on. Come on. Walk through that. Come on. Walk. Come over here. Because I got something greater for you today. Amen. Are you prepared? That's the battle. You see, God sees the big picture. We see the little picture. Maybe you had an argument with your wife this morning. Maybe you had an argument with your friend. And that's the small problem. Maybe you went to work and had an argument. That's the small problem. Because God said, I already took care of that. You're supposed to be prepared. Everything the pastor told you, you'll be prepared. You'll be able to walk through that problem, because they don't mean anything, because God will lift you up, over, around, or upside down it, but he'll get you through it. Can I get an amen? Because we always see the argument, the trouble at work, at home, as the little, we see that, oh man, and God sees this big picture. Your success. He sees the great in you. He sees the great in you. God sees it. Amen? Who sees it? God sees it. Are you prepared? I will tell you this. There were things in my life that I built with my own hands. I don't mean a house or a porch, but things I did in my life that I thought, you know, I didn't have God in my life, and I didn't do things the right way in my life, and I made bad choices, amen? And I thought I had all this stuff, and come to find out I had absolutely nothing. Because when it went away, when it was taken away from me, when I lost it, people say that was too bad, and I realized as I turned to God that I never really had it. I built those things with my own hand, my own imagination, my own desires, my own ways, see? But when I finally realized that, and I turned to God and I said, can you help me? Everything that he has helped me build has things that I've been able to hold on to, things that I've been able to see, greater things than I ever thought possible, things that my little dreams about singing in a nursing home turned into a business that's unbelievable, because I turned to God and said, can you help me with this? And he said, yes, I can help you. Thank you for finally asking me. Are you prepared? And I said, yes, Lord, I'm prepared. And I worked hard to be prepared. And my wife says about my book, I have a music book with like 300 songs in it, because I'm prepared. I want to be prepared for everything that I face. And so my dedication was to my work. Amen. That's my work. And God, when I finally realized that all the things in my life that I made with my own hands that were gone, I never really had. It was a joke. It was like I was tricking myself to think I had these possessions, because I was doing everything wrong. Amen. I was doing everything the way Larry wanted it, my way or the highway. Anybody ever say that? I don't want to be on your highway. I want to be on God's highway. I want God to drive my car. Amen? The things that God has built and is building are greater than I could have ever imagined before. Standing here on a rainy October Sunday, having new people come to hear this word, I'm praying that it reaches your heart to know that God wants you to do the same thing. He wants you to go out and tell everybody about him. He wants you to have good success. He wants to change the person you are so that you can be a bright, shining star. Can I get an amen? Okay, we need to do this. Three words. We need to raise the bar. Amen. Can you say that with me? We need to raise the bar. Be prepared. Do the work, and then stand, and only then can we be still and know that He is God. Because all the things you think you're facing that are so big, God is waiting for you on the other side of that, because He's got something greater. This too shall pass. You need that dedication, and you need to be prepared, because the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Amen. Give Him praise, church. That's our God. Thank you. Thank you. I wrote that myself. Thank you very much. Be nice to me. Ladies?
God painted a picture and called it the world, with mountains, valleys, and streams. God painted a picture and called it the world, with beauty, laughter, and dreams. Splashes of yellow, purple, and red, tinged with gold and green. A glorious sunset, a flaming of red, flowers.